If I was going to name a title to this, I'm going to say, Adam, where art thou? The first man, Adam, was, 1 Corinthians says, was made a living soul. And the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And we're going to read in the scripture here about what brought death about. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I'll get to that in a little bit later here. But it speaks of the appointment of death. Every man has an appointment to death. How many knows how that came about? That came about from sin. About everything that you see that's going wrong, it started with sin. So Adam and Eve sinned, and they got us an appointment too. But the second man, Adam, that was a quickening spirit, which was Christ, he overdone it. He overrode it. How many knows what override means? You know, in a court case or anything else, when something's overrode, there's something better or a better evidence or something like that brings it to the place where it's the other thing was overruled. So let's read here in the 17th verse of the second chapter of the book of Genesis. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now God said that. And when God says something, you can just absolutely flat count on it because it's true. And we got to know the truth, and the truth make us free. Verse 6 says in chapter 3, now here they are. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant in the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, where art thou, Adam? Or Adam, where art thou? I've put it that way. But where art thou, Adam? So now the second man, Adam, is made a quickening spirit. We know who that is. But the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So Adam was a living soul. And since the day that they eat of that tree, they died. They were walking around. They had breath to breathe. But actually, they were dead, and that's why a man had to be born again. In St. John chapter 3, that's why we have to be born again. Now, what was the problem here? God had given a command. God had given them something to live by, not to die by. And God said, you're going to die as soon as you eat of that tree. The day, that very day, you are going to die. Well, they didn't take God at his word, so they decided that they would go ahead and disobey God. So it's a sin of what? Of disobedience. So the sin of disobedience is what has brought death on everybody. Now listen to this. Do you ever think of this? Everybody that's died, lived and died since Adam was under that curse of disobedience. Everybody. And except they be born again and saved, they're dead, so to speak. But Jesus made a way. And he is the way. He said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So where art thou, O Adam? So what has Adam been doing ever since? Now here's what it looks to me like, that they decided that they'd eat of that tree, and after they eat of the tree, they found out they was naked. They found out that the things that God had told them were true. So when he comes through the garden, they didn't want to talk to him. They didn't want to visit with him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him, so they hid themselves behind the trees in the garden. In the garden. Now, that was a spirit. How many knows it's a spirit? Death is a spirit. There's two spirits. It's life or death. You're either living with a dead spirit or a living spirit. A life spirit. And in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So Adam and Eve, who thought they could maybe stay in the garden and hide behind the trees and not visit with God, it's kind of like the people that don't go to church. Let's put it that way. The people that don't worship God. The people that don't live for God. The people that's not born again. So where art thou, Adam? And you know, they always have excuses. How many of those people could cook up any kind of an excuse? I was kind of thinking, somebody said that, you know, some of them was old and sick, and they were had the flu, this thing that's going on around here, and they was old, and they couldn't get out. And I thought a minute, and I thought, well, I'm older than all of them, and I'm here preaching. And I've got a touch of it too. But I'm not going to let that hold me down because the devil said it. How many knows? John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we got two pictures of this. There's a thief and then there's a truth. There's one called Jesus that has all power over death. He has power over all this sin that's been committed and all the mistakes and all the sins that ever was given. Jesus took power over that when he died upon a cross and he ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father and prayed the Father to send us a comforter. He made the way. He is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. So we find that sin was committed, and God ended there with saying, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou, Adam? And you know what Adam said? Let's read that. Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So people that's hiding out from God are hiding from something that they've done their own self. How many is really that it's your pleasure and your joy to really come and fellowship with God in church? Somebody said, well, it's not always pleasant in church. Well, it's a whole lot more pleasant usually than it is other places. And we're living in a time when there's the spirit of death is taking over. A spirit of death. People think death. They think about shooting each other. They think about abortion. The child that's already being born, that already, it can cry, it has a soul, it has feelings, and kill that baby when it's being born, that's death. See, we have so many things that's death today. And we'll talk too about the spirit dying. Did you know the spirit can die down in us? Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 said, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. So the spirit, we got to keep the spirit alive in us, and that spirit alive in us will give us life. It will give us strength. It will give us power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1 and 8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, in the uttermost part of the earth. Adam, where art thou? Did you know Adam is still around today, the second man Adam? Just look at somebody and pinch him and say, see, that's the second man, Adam. He's going to die. This man's going to die. But this man's going to live. Huh? See, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Therefore, we're going to live. We die and we live. And we have to die out to sin for to have a good living. So let's look and see. Adam said, we're hid among the trees in the garden. Adam said, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me to eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. So Adam and Eve, the spirit of them in people today, are still going around laying it off onto something else. How many knows what repentance really is? That's saying, I done it, forgive me, and staying alive. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 3, verse 19? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. When he sends Jesus, life comes in. New life comes in. Though you've been backslid, though you've been away from God, there is still a new life available for us by repentance. Where art thou, Adam? We hid behind the trees. Did you do this thing? My wife gave it to me. What did you do, lady? The devil made me do it. Pass it both. And you take people that's not faithful in church and faithful to their companions and faithful in the things of God, they're always passing the buck. That's where Adam is today. He's still passing the buck. Where art thou, Adam? Still passing the buck. Hid from the presence of the Lord. I don't want to go. I just ain't going tonight. It's too cold. But they just come from McDonald's. Wasn't it cold going in McDonald's and cold coming out of McDonald's? Passing the buck. Adam has always got an excuse, but Jesus has the remedy. Come on, can you? The first man, Adam, he's got death sentence and he's got an excuse because he doesn't want to be around God. But Jesus has the way, he has the truth, and he has the life, and it belongs to us for the taking. What did you say here? The husband and the wife. So where is Adam today? Husbands and wives are divided, accusing one another. How many homes in this, you think, in this nation right now, over the Christmas holiday and the New Year's holiday, are sitting and accusing each other? You spent too much. You done this. And you done that. Adam and Eve were accusing. Huh? A spirit of accusing is a death spirit. I want that to soak just a minute. We're living in a time of a death spirit. Accusing is trying to kill the other person. Trying to kill their influence, trying to kill their spirit, trying to kill their experience with God. That's where Adam is today. He's still there trying to kill this experience. Now, the husband and the wife divided, and depending on something to hide them. How many know a lot of folks go around depending on something to hide their sin? You know, sin's a serious thing. It's a bad thing. It's a death sentence. Sin is really disobedience. All sin is the disobedience. Living for God is he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. When the rain descended and the flood came, the house stood because it was builded on a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. Everything is on his shoulder. He's the way. So depending on something to hide them, if I just get here, I'll hide it. I know I've done this. I feel guilty. I'm going to hide it. That's not the way with God. The way with God is to admit it. What is another Adam theory? Trying to escape conviction instead of repent. Boy, that's a hard one to do, ain't it? When you get in the house of God, and now this is not for anybody here personally here tonight, but this is something that you could teach somebody else, and it'll fly. I'm going to tell you, this is something that won't sink, it will fly. And we're going to have to get a hold of some word of God and some of the power of God that'll fly in the hour that we live. What I mean by flying or floating, I mean something that'll stand, something that will stand the test. So they don't want to have conviction. Let me kind of get into some of this modern-day church stuff that don't want conviction in it. Instead of conviction, they've got rock music. That's exciting to them. Rock music. Ain't nobody going to get convicted while all that's going on. So that's part of it. It's a distraction. So it's distraction. They don't want a quiet moment in the church. They don't want the power of God to move. They don't want to offend anybody. And most folks have got so saturated with this that they don't want to be around anything that convicts them. But how many knows that's what we have to have, conviction? How many knows sin is something that we ought to be convicted of? Now, another thing that I want to bring in, trying to justify themselves and saying, I'm just as good as that hypocrite that I know goes to church. That's a tree you can hide behind. That's one of your trees in the garden. I'll hide behind this tree and look at that hypocrite over there, and I'm just as good as him. See, there's lots of trees that you can get behind. There's lots of excuses that you can have. It could be your husband, your wife, your children, somebody in the church. I'm not going down there where that fellow's in church. He's a hypocrite. Well, we got to get ourselves straightened out. So here's what, trying to justify themselves saying, I am just as good as that other person. Self-justification. That's a tree. Now, here's another tree. Always having an alibi for their sin. I just have to have a little wine for the stomach's sake. That's a tree to hide behind, isn't it? And the Bible said, drink a little wine. But they never did look out what kind of wine that was. How many knows it was a sour wine with absolutely zero alcohol content? Sour wine. But then you look on a bottle of wine today and see what it says. It'll either say 16% alcohol added or 20% alcohol added. So that is nothing but a tree to hide behind so you can have it in the refrigerator. Trees. But we're going to get into the good trees here in just a minute. Let's take another one here. Always having an alibi. Accusing somebody or thing for the sin. These people no longer have the divine nature. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We're going to talk about the divine nature. How many believe we're supposed to be partakers of divine nature? How many knows we've all supposed to escape the corruption that's in this world through lust? We ain't supposed to have all these things that we're talking about here. Trees to hide behind. Excuses. Listen to what I said. Verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power, he has given unto us. Now, this is him. This is life given to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We're supposed to already have a complete escape from the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afore all, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Can you see that we have a way of life? And he is our way. He said, follow me. Mark records it, 1:17. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. How many believe we're supposed to become fishers of men? We're supposed to be out there catching men. I'm really proud of this tonight to have these young ministers here. Brother Panky, Brother John, and Brother Jason Smith. Sister Carter, well, and everybody here tonight, so to speak. Brother Bobby said he was a teacher, and he was learning more every day, but he's really getting to be a teacher, too. He's teaching the Word of God. It's just exactly like it is, and he's learning. How many knows I'm still learning? And I don't ever want to quit learning. When I quit learning, I'll probably be done. And I don't want to be done. How many I want to keep on going, don't you? So there's the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So these people that we're talking about are no, if they've ever had the divine nature, they are no longer have the divine nature, but the nature of the thief that stole their life and now dominates it. So they have the nature and the spirit of the thief that stole their life and now dominates them under sin. Do you know anybody like that? A word of warning to young ministers. I know some young ministers right now that once were powerful preachers. Tonight they're backslid. Some of them on drugs. And some of them, people can't believe it, but they are. They're away from God. You know what they done? They turned away from the truth. They lost out with God. So what began to happen in the garden? Back to John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So as time went on in the family of Adam and Eve, they had a son named Cain and one named Abel. Now what happened between those two? Abel brought the right sacrifice. You know, we've got to bring the right sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, here we find Cain and Abel. Abel brings the right sacrifice. God accepted his. He didn't want Cain. A spirit of death rose up in Cain. I know what I'll do. I'll kill him. Did you know that jealousy thing rises up in churches? It rises up in families. And jealousy is as cruel as the grave. It rises up in people of all walks of life, in business places where people work. If one's doing better than the other, it rises up in them. And so they begin to set about to try to kill one another's influence and kill each other out. Have a good youth leader in the church. Everybody wants to kill him out and thinks they're the youth leader. That's not it. How many knows what we're supposed to do? Dig down and find out what God really wants us to do. And when we find out what He really wants us to do, we do that. And then we're back in the graces of God. Now it's important that we abide in the grace of God. I want to turn our Bibles back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John the Beloved wrote this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. How many knows what it was that got Adam and Eve into it? Eve lusted after the fruit on the tree. Adam evidently wanted it also, so she gave it to him and he ate it. So it was something that God didn't want him to eat it, or he wouldn't have said, the day you eat it, you'll die. And it says in verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. So we got to be in the will of God. What does it say there again in Romans 12:1-2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? That you may prove what? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So our job is to prove that good and acceptable, perfect will of God for our own self. I can't prove the perfect will of God for you. You can't prove the perfect will of God for me. You have to prove that yourself. Where do you start? By presenting your body a living sacrifice. That means that you stay away from the fruit of the tree that of sin, of death, the knowledge of good and evil. You don't dabble with that. You stay away from that. You keep a strong mind. Now, St. John chapter 3 said, yet you must be born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except he be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So godliness, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and the anointing, and doing good. Now, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. How many knows what good is? That's proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many folks do you know that's really in the perfect will of God? You ask them, say, I don't know. Well, it's time the church gets ready to find out whether they're in the will of God or not. We need to know whether we're in the will of God or not. Because if we're not in the will of God, we're going to confuse somebody else, and we're already confused ourselves. So people that are out of the will of God, people that's, how many knows, you've always heard the old saying that a backslid Pentecost is worse than he ever was before anyhow. You know why? Because he forsook the good thing and went and walked in his way until he became evil. And then these people that are killing spiritual things, you know, a lot of folks just go into church and they want to kill a spirit in. I've had that down to campground. People come, they want to kill that spirit. Well, that ain't the way you do it. You should do it this way. Can I sing? No, you can't sing because you be singing the wrong song and the wrong spirit. Somebody comes up and says, can I sing? And they got the spirit. Say, yeah, you can sing. See, there's leaders in the church. Leaders in the church. And there's all kinds of different leaders in. I didn't aim to get in this, but I guess I better get into this just a little bit. Because there's different leaders at different places in this service here tonight. Let me know that. I'm the supreme leader tonight. But there's other leaders. My wife led the service. And if she led it, then she led it. That's a leadership, isn't it? All right. Then somebody leads the song service, or somebody leads something else. You think that ought to be in order? Huh? Come on. Now, if I'm leading the service, then I need to really know what I'm doing. I need to be hearing from God. You see, sometimes we don't lead it just right. And we get each other in problems. And I don't want to say this offensive to anybody here tonight, but let's just take for instance here, if Sister Sarah's on the piano, and my wife is on the lead guitar, and then she's going to be the lead musician. And if she's not on that, then if it's the piano, that'll be the lead music. Am I getting this over? I saw this in service here the other night, but you boys will remember this. The leading part of it has to be led by the Spirit. But let's take for instance now my wife's going to be lead musician, and you're going to sing a song, and he's going to lead the song. But you're the supreme leader, we'll say. He's going to lead the song service. Let's put it this way. Then what does the song leader do to get the right key and everything to start with? I may get on a few toes here, but this has to be. Then they have to let her play just a little bit to see what key that's in. Because the song leader don't know what key it's in. But she does. Or if the piano is the instrument that's going to be the lead part, well then the piano hits the keys, gets you started. Then you lead the song service under the supervision of the supreme leader. Just always remember there's more than one leader going on in the church. When he's teaching the Sunday morning, he's the leader right then. I'm still supreme leader, but he's the teacher. In other words, we have to work in a conjunction with each other to stay in harmony with each other. Huh? In harmony. And I'll help you with all that, and Sister Buckner will, if you need that, to help you get started with how to keep that going. But I'm off my subject now, but anything that's not in harmony doesn't sound right. How many know that? Now let's go just a little bit further. People have come to the place today with that spirit of death that it's become a shooting gallery. Everywhere nearly that you go, it's just going and going and going. But I want to wind this message up here tonight. Well, let's turn our Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So there's an appointment to death, and then there's a judgment. And then there's, how many knows that there's life after death? Life after death. There's a new life. Just as sure as you're sitting here tonight, there's a new life. To those that have found the new way. To those that have found out the old man has passed away and all things have become new. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, look where we ended last night. We're going to end the same place here tonight. I want to say this too. Let's learn how to study the Bible while we read it rather than just read it and tie it all together. Let's do this like you're going to study the Bible. You young ministers need this real well. How to study. And break it down. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, that includes me, don't it? All right, now the next thing you're going to study is, because the Lord hath anointed me. Well, what did he anoint me to do? See, you guys always ask yourself a question when you're studying the Bible. to preach good tidings to the meek. Now, there's two or three subjects right there, isn't it? And I ain't through with the verse yet. The next part of it is, He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So that's our job, to bind up the brokenhearted. The next part of it is to proclaim liberty to the captives. How many sees a whole lot of things there if you studied out? Then you take and get you an encyclopedia or something and find out the meanings of different words. And the opening of prison to them that are bound. Now, there's a whole lot in verse 1 there that you could just run it all together and not study it as you read it, and you would not find out what you need to find out. How many sees that? Now, here's the next verse. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. There's two things there. To comfort all that mourn. So there's three things there in that verse. We study that to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we have to find out something there. And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. Now what was preaching on last night was ashes. Getting out of the ashes. Getting into the beauty. Getting the awe. So the next verse here tells us that. Verse 3. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. What a trade. How many knows what ashes is? That's something that's burnt and destroyed that once was maybe alive or something that was built. Like this church, if it burned down, it would turn into ashes. And so, I explained the 19th chapter of the book of Numbers there last night, the first 9 or 10 verses, that explains the red heifer that was brought and the blood was shed. It's got to be a perfect specimen of an animal. And then they burned it and the ashes was there. But we're not in the ashes. How many knows you're not in the ashes? Look where. The trade has been made to appoint to them, verse 3, that mourn, to give them what? Beauty for what? Now tell me what is always named beautiful in the Bible. The beauty of holiness. And how many knows what holiness is? That's that you give the whole man to God. That your whole spirit, your whole soul, your body, you place that in Him. And when you do that, you're going to live a holy life. If you're obedient. So if you turn everything over to Him and you're obedient, you'll not be as Adam and Eve. You'll ask God's questions. You'll be living in a place of beauty to give them beauty for ashes. And the next thing then is the oil of joy for mourning. Wonder what the oil is. The Holy Ghost? I'd say that's the Holy Ghost. The oil of joy. Is there joy in the Holy Ghost? Well, if there's not, then Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the what? In the Holy Ghost. So the package is in the Holy Ghost. That all comes with this package that we're talking about here tonight. We need to find out what we've got. And it says, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Then here's the next thing. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many believe we ought to have on the garment of praise? I don't see no place in the Bible where you put on the garment of grouchiness. Wouldn't that be something if he said, put on the garment of grouchiness so you can die? No, we're going to live. How many's looking toward life? Acts 17:28 said, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. In Him we live. So to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? The trees of righteousness. And everybody ought to hide behind that one. Huh? Shouldn't we? Why? Because it's the tree of righteousness. We need to be trees of righteousness ourselves. The planting of the Lord. Why? That He may be glorified. Amen. To proclaim the opening of prison to them that are bound. I'll tell you, there's a lot in this chapter. And then, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, how many wants to glorify God? When we glorify God, something really begins to happen. And we are all changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. The fourth verse here is one that we need to really get in. How many wants to be builders of God's kingdom? Everybody ought to desire that. And it says, these people that we're talking about, they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Can you imagine how many people have died since Adam and Eve? How many? It's in numbers you couldn't count. They didn't have the opportunity that we have. I don't know what happened to them exactly, but I know one thing. We've got a better resurrection. And Paul said that we might have a better resurrection, and we need things to be better. Everything in our life, I don't care how good everything's going in your life right now, you need more. How many of we want something better? We've got to be born again. When our spirit man is born again, it seeks life. And God is his goodness and the things that pertain to life and godliness. The Word of God, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, and doing good.